Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is heaven's glory. And the vision of this ministry is to turn many unto righteousness by declaring the whole counsel of God upon the foundation of peace and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. Our mission is to declare the whole counsel of God upon the foundation of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost by raising watchmen who will blow the trumpet to herald the agenda of heaven on earth, turning men everywhere from darkness unto light and from the power of Satan unto God to receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance by faith in Christ Jesus. The said man being Stephen Adinoy. You are about to listen to one of his messages. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you are set again to do in our midst this morning. We ask, O God, that even as we look into your perfect love, liberty, which is your word, we ask, O God, that we shall be transformed, we shall be changed in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask, O God, that in these seasons of overturn, that everything that looks like a challenge in our lives and family, there is going to be an overturn in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask, O God, that everything that looks like a limitation, there is going to be an overturn in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We ask, O God, that you grant us utterance into your word. In Jesus' mighty name, it is done. In Jesus' mighty name, it is done. You are welcome, sir. Hallelujah. So, like we know, the theme for our month, which is this month, the theme for this month, the month of September, is overturned. Say with me, overturned. Say with me, overturned. In Ezekiel chapter 21 and verse 27, we were meant to understand that the Lord said he will overturn it until it is no more. Isn't it? Ezekiel chapter 21 and verse 27. He said, I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it to him. Hallelujah. So in this season of what overturn, whatever is a challenge is not going to, whatever is a challenge will be no more. Somebody shout amen. Whatsoever is not bringing glory to God in our life will be no more. Somebody say amen. Because when the Lord overturns anything that does not bring glory to him that is in our life will be no more. He said, I will overturn it, and it shall be no more. Hallelujah. So that means if there's an overturn, there is something existing before that may not be giving glory to God. And most of the time, it's not giving glory to God. That is why God will overturn it, and that thing will be no more until it comes whose right it is, and he will give it to us. Hallelujah. And I see that as our experience in this month and beyond in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it him. I will give it to him. Hallelujah. So we said that in considering some of the meaning of overturn, we said to overturn means to capsize, to upset. It means to overthrow, to destroy. It means to reverse a decision, to overrule a decision. Hallelujah. In the law court, when you hear overruled, isn't it? Yes, you it's as if all that person has said did not count for anything. Hallelujah. So that is what an overturning is. All that the enemy is saying is overruled. Hallelujah. That will be our portion in the name of Jesus. We also said overturn means to diminish the significance of a previous defeat by winning. Hallelujah. It means to diminish the significance of what? Of a previous defeat by what? By winning. Hallelujah. That means if there is any way we have been experiencing defeat before, when we begin to win in that aspect, what has happened to us? We have experienced what? An overturn. It means to diminish the significance of a previous defeat by what? By winning. It means to overpower or to conquer. To overpower and to conquer. And God was began to tell me, said, whenever there is an overturn, things will not go the same way again. Hallelujah. Whenever there is an overturn, things will not go what? Will not go the same way again. Whenever there is an overturn, things will not be the same again. I am on the sick of that tire. Now let's look at a car, for instance, that was overturned. You know, previously the car was sitting on four legs, the tire, isn't it? If it's a normal car, if it's a trailer, it has more than that. Or four tires, it has more than those tires. But when there is an overturn, you will discover that things will not be the same again. That car will not be the same again. Are you getting it? That means when also there is an overturn in our life, an overturn for the better. Are you getting it? That means things will not be the same again. Things will not go the same way it is going again. Hallelujah. Things will not be as usual again. Hallelujah. Whenever we understand and whenever we experience an overturn, things will not be as usual again. No, it will not be as usual again. The usual pattern, the usual arrangement, the usual sequence of events is altered when there is an overturn. The usual pattern, the usual sequence, the usual events, the usual happening, the usual defeats will not be the same again when there is what? When there is an overturn. Because whenever there is an overturn, things will not go the same way again. Things will not be the same again. Things will not be as usual again. Why? Because we have experienced what? An overturn. Oh, Kamande Sigamala Tabana. And this morning, as the Lord was communing with me concerning today's topic, he said, when I do an overturn for you, he said, the Holy Spirit was talking to me, he said, when God overturns the table around for your good, it is more trouble for the enemy. Whenever God overturns the table around for us, it is what? It is more trouble for what? For the enemy. More trouble for the devil. And today we have a very long, Bible study to do in seeing how the Lord overturned a whole extermination plan that a man called Haman the Agagite had against Mordecai and the children of what? And the Jews in what? In Shushan, which is one of the provinces in the kingdom of what? Of Persia and Media. When I was considering that event, that was when the Holy Spirit told me, said, when God overturns the table around for your good, he said, well, it is what? It is more trouble for the enemy. We know very well that when God overturns for us, things will not be the same again. When God overturns for us, things will no longer go as usual. Are you getting it? The pattern and the arrangement of things will not be the same again. The events that are happening will not be the same again. And then he added and said, when God overturns the table for our good, he said, it is more trouble for the enemy. Everybody say with me, more trouble for the enemy. Overturn is more what? It's more trouble for what? For the enemy. Let's turn our Bibles to Esther chapter 1. We are going to have a long reading. It's a Bible study today in order for us to all experience how sometimes you can be going through depression. Sometimes you can be thinking that all things are not even working. In fact, someone said for you to be able to think that things are not working is a sign that things are already working, because there are some people who don't have right mind. Are you getting it? I am most. For you to be aware that things are not even working, are you getting it? Is an advantage that you have being insane to be able to, being sane, isn't it? Being okay in your mind for you to know that things are not working, that is a sign that things are working. So sometimes, as little as someone sending just a 100 naira recharge card or a 500 naira recharge card or so, or even somebody coming to give you one cup of rice or one noodle of rice, is a sign that what God has overturned the table for you. Most of the time we think the overturn should just come as a 50 million naira in your account. There was the story of this Yahoo boy that in his lodge, immediately his maga, you know they call them maga, immediately maga paid 50 million. He was celebrating in so much that even his other friends, they killed him that night in order to collect the money. So it was the 50 million naira he got. You know, the Bible said that as a partridge seated on an egg and hatched it not. He says, so is everyone that get what? That get riches and not by right. He said, he shall leave the riches in the midst of his days and at the end becomes a fool. We talked about that in what? In last week, you know, topic, when we talked about the reason many have what? Of covetousness is the reason many have what? Forsaking God. So don't wait until there is a 50 million. You know, that 50 million I spoke about was a Yahoo 50 million. And that was what ended the young man's life. He was shouting over the night that they just dropped an alert of 50 million. His life has changed. So his friends that were with him in the lodge, that was how they killed him, to collect the money. And the plot was what was eventually discovered. Most of the time when I read the news of how, you know, truth begins to come out and so on, and I said, these people, if they know their Bible and they are willing to walk according to the word of God, they will know that all these things are not strange. There is no way you can kill somebody and bury the person and think the truth will be buried. You can't bury the truth. They kept Jesus in the grave. The truth, which is the truth? Who is the truth? You cannot bury the truth. The truth will always be confessed. That's what the Lord told me. He said the world has been wired. The world has been programmed. Heaven and earth and even under the earth has been programmed in a way that you cannot bury the truth. How can you kill somebody and think that by burying the person you have been able to cover what you did? You can't cover the truth. The truth cannot be buried. It will always be confessed. That was what God told me. I think I'm going to frame it as a word. You can never bury the truth. The truth is always what is always confessed. So when you come to this point that you know that we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth, you will just relax with God and your life will begin to make sense. Hallelujah. I see God helping us in the name of Jesus. Where am I? So I was saying that it's not until a 50 million alert gets into your account, that's when God has given you an overturn. As little as somebody coming to give you one noodle of rice is a sign that God has overturned. And it may be that that is when you never had any foodstuff in the house. As little as somebody sending you a recharge card of 100 naira or 500 naira, that is a sign that God has overturned the table for you. And it may be that you never had anything. So don't wait for the big resources. One person may be the person that may come for your service. That is a sign that God has overturned the table for you. Whereas it would have been that you were the only one that had the service that day. Hallelujah. But we see that most of us are not grateful. We see that we are not taking note of those little things that God is doing in our lives. That is why we are not what? We are not thanking Him for the overturn that we have seen and then positioning ourselves for the overturn that He wants to what? He wants to bring for us. So let's go back. We said that what? When there is an overturn, things will not go the same way again, isn't it? When there is an overturn, things will not be the same way again. When there is an overturn, the usual pattern, the usual arrangement, the usual sequence of things will be altered. And we said when there is an overturn, it is what? It is more trouble for the enemy. I can want this a lot of time. So, long reading, Esther chapter 1. Kaibotelimasi katabalataya. Esther chapter 1 from verse 1. The Bible said, now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which region? which reigned rather from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace. So Shushan was like the capital city of his province, hallelujah, of his kingdom. In the third is like Ado in what? In Ekiti. Are you getting it? Where we have the state house, isn't it? And the government house, hallelujah. The Bible now said, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all princes of his servants. Unto all princes and his servants, rather, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. Verse 4. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 84 days. Verse 5. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the what? In the courts of the garden of the king's palace. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Where were white, green and blue, hangings, fasting with cords of fine linen and purple of silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon the pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold. You know, they were trying to tell you that this was how their lodges were. Are you getting it? This was how executive the lodge were for them, where he arranged for all his what, princes and nobles from all his provinces in his kingdom. Hallelujah. And then they began to describe the kind of food. Verse 7. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, and vessels being diverse one from another. That means if you see this kind of cup, one cup will have a shape of a love shape. Another cup is going to have a shape like an apple. And it's going to be gold. It's going to be silver. They were just, as you know, assorted kind of, you know, how would I call it, presentation of what they gave them to eat, the kind of, you know, food they gave them to eat, the kind of vessels they used for their feeding. He was just trying to show how God has helped him. I don't know if it's God that helped him. He was just trying to show how he has become great and how he has become rich in the province. Hallelujah. Verse 7. And royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. So you can see that the king was the one that was so meticulous about this thing. He said, okay, these are the things you will do for these people and the rest and so on. Verse 8, and the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. So it was like a feast that you came to ask for whatsoever you wanted. Are you getting it? Also, Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. Hallelujah. On the seventh day, you know, the feast was to last for 7 days. So on the seventh day, so as he was doing this for his nobles and princes and for all the people he invited, both great and small, Vashti, which was the then queen, was also doing the same, was also having her own guests and partying. For what? For the women. For our own guests, to maybe the wife of those prince and nobles. Are you getting it? And the women and so on in the province. On the seventh day, that's verse 10, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bigtan, Habona, Bigtan, and Abata, Zeta, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that serve in the prince, in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, he now commanded these seven chamberlains, verse 11, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the royal crown, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. Verse 12. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger born in him. Hallelujah. So we can see that it was a good cause. It was for a just cause. Are you getting it? That the king wanted to what? Wanted the presence of his queen. Are you getting it? And I believe for those of us who are married, if you are having a feast of that magnitude or a celebration of that magnitude, and you are calling for your wife, it's not to come and tell people that, my wife used to give me headache. Are you getting it? No. That's not going to make sense. Even if she's giving you a headache, are you getting it? People should settle it in the inner room before you come out to disgrace yourself. Amen. So what am I trying to say? I'm saying that what is for a just cause. No man will ask for the presence of his wife in the public to disgrace her. Do you get it? Do you understand? So every woman, every wife should know that their husbands have good in mind for them, especially when he wants to make a show with their beauty to his guests and so on. So I don't know why this Vashti refused to come. If she was saying that maybe I'm attending to my own guests, she should know that if the king had not requested, had not made that, feast, then she too would not have had that, her own feast, in the first place. Are you getting it? So her feast was born out of his own feast. Are you getting it? Her party was born out of what? Of his own party. So if he was asking for her presence, that means she should come. In fact, why are we considering all this? Without any consideration, as the wife of the what, of the king, she's supposed to be subject to him. Are you getting it? That's why the Bible said that let women submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord. All this consideration I'm just making is consideration that maybe is on ground that warranted her. No, but on a normal ground, are you getting it? For the fact that it's your husband, he paid your dowry to be so, you are supposed to be obedient to him. How much more a king who is in charge of over 127 provinces? And that day, and it's not that he came to tell you come and you said no. It would have just been between the two of you. Do you get it? There's a way he can just come with his entourage or with even with his seven chamberlains. Are you getting it? And then just come and whisper, oh, my queen, you people are enjoying. You are having a nice time. You know, oh, yeah, baby, please join me at my own guest, isn't it? Join me at my own feast. Are you getting it? And she said, no, I can't come. It would have just been between him and what? And her. And maybe at the end of everything, they would have settled it. But he sent seven of his chamberlains. He sent seven other people. So she did not just disgrace him. Are you getting it? She disgraced him before the seven of those chamberlains. And that is how they were also spread. And maybe it's possible that she said that, when she said that, there were other ladies with her too, that listened to her refusal of those chamberlains that came to give her the message from the king. So we can see disrespect that was not just between two people, husband and wife, but it was made public. And you know, at the end of the day, when his anger was wrought, those chamberlains said, if we don't deal with this matter, that is how every other woman too in the province, they will feel like disobeying their husband is a normal thing. Are you getting it? They will not respect their husbands too, because in their presence, they saw when the queen, are you getting it? The queen disobeyed the king. As such, let her what? Her estate, let there be an overturn. But this one was to her disadvantage. Let her estate be given to someone who is what? Who is better than her. So that when that news come to every, to come to the province and say, when the queen disobeyed the command of the king, this was the punishment. He said, every woman now will begin to give honor to their own husbands where? In their houses, in their several houses. He said, likewise, verse 18, I'm just trying to you read it. Now look at verse 19. If it please the king, verse 18 says, likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king princes which have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise much contempt and wrath. So you know, the family is what makes up what? The community. It's what makes up a society. So if that starts happening in every family, that means the king will have to be answering so many questions. Are you getting it? That's why in verse 18, he said there will be much what? Much contempt and wrath. The ladies will be disrespecting, the wives will be disrespecting their husbands. And you know some men, it's not all of them that are born again. And some of them will now start pouncing. That's why I say wrath. They will now start pouncing on their wife. Are you getting it? And as such, there is going to be a whole lot of cases that the king will be settling. And that's because it started from his own throne. It started from his own house. Hallelujah. So let him do something that is going to solve that disobedience and pass a message to everybody in the kingdom. So that was how he now said in verse 19, if it pleases the king, let there go a royal commandment for him, and let it be given among the laws. Let it be written among the laws of Persia and Media that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus. Let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than her. Hallelujah. Now, I've had some ladies say that maybe the reason she said she will not come was because she was going through women issues. Are you getting it? But if you are going to say no to such a request, it should come with a what? With a reason. Are you getting it? With a reason that cannot be what? That cannot be overruled. Do you understand? For instance, if she had told the seven chamberlains that, I'm not sure I'll be able to come, maybe I'm unclean. Oh, it will be. Remember that there was a time that Laban pursued Jacob. And when he was searching, because Rachel even took his gods and sat on it. Are you getting it? So when he was searching, although his search was so vicious, his search was so urgent, and he could throw away anything to do the search. But immediately she told him that she is going through the order of women, he left that area. So if she is saying no, her no to the request of the king should be coming with a very genuine reason that cannot be overruled. Maybe if she said, okay, I can't come, it's because I'm having the order of women. Oh, I will even be unclean among the congregation. That one is a law. It's a law that all of them know. Are you getting? They'll say, when they come, they'll say, okay, boy, nobody needs to hear this. Just tell them that is having. So they will, even when they meet and say, why is the king? They'll just say, don't worry. They will not even need to tell anybody that why did the queen not obey. In fact, they by themselves will say, don't worry, don't worry. But you just said no. The way she said no, it was a sign of blatant disobedience. There was no reason given. Even if there was a genuine reason, when you say no to such a thing, you should give the genuine reason. Not just saying no as if you own yourself, you brought yourself to that kingdom. Why your feet are old? Oh, Jesus. So her state, her royal estate was given to another. You can see that because we said last time that an overturn, we said it on Friday, that an overturn can either be for the positive or also for the negative. Are you getting it? Now, we saw that this overturn that Vashti had was for the negative because her royal estate was taken from her. But the overturn was also favored someone. because he brought someone else called Esther into what? Into the royal estate, into the royal house, into the state house. And Esther was one from the lineage of what? Of the Jews. Hallelujah. Chapter 2. Let's run to chapter 2. So that was how they sent her away. Hallelujah. So it's very important that if we are giving note, not just women to their husband, but also everyone to authorities. Are you getting it? Not just women to what? To their husbands, but what? But everyone to what? To authorities. Hallelujah. Why are you not around? You can give a reason. Some people will not go to church and they just feel they are let their pastor understand. 1 month, 2 months, he has not seen you. He won't be the one that will start calling. But there are some who are wise. They will say, oh, sir, the reason we could not come this time was because, it was well with us. We had a whole lot and we, instead of us to break down, we said, let's just rest for today. That will make him feel appreciated and honored. Are you getting it? But you don't come and you don't even talk about it because you feel you should know that and so on. I see God helping us in the name of Jesus. So, whenever such a decree, I was trying to say that it's not just for what? For wives to honor alone their husbands, but it's for all to honor authorities. I see God helping us in the name of Jesus. So it was published that let virgins be brought. Are you getting it? So let's go to verse chapter 2 quickly. Ay, tonomo salamantala. I want to tell us that, do you know that the reason we know very well that when Haman was promoted as the prime minister, that any time he was going out, everyone was supposed to prostrate for him. Are you getting it? Was supposed to give him honor. But we saw that Mordecai, I'm jumping now because we have not even read yet. We saw that Mordecai was not going to prostrate for him. Have you ever asked yourself, why was that? Why did Mordecai have such temerity and such guts not to prostrate for the prime minister? He was like the Joseph in Egypt that time. Haman was like the Joseph in what? In Egypt. Because where the king promoted him was, it was like the seat of what? Of the prime minister. And you know, when Pharaoh was talking to Joseph, he said, nobody will lift up hands or raise leg in this kingdom if it's not going to be by your command. He said, it's only in the what? In the throne that I will be greater than you. That was how Mordecai was towards to King Ahasuerus. So he was like the prime minister when he was promoted. So it was only in the throne that what? King Ahasuerus was greater than him. Yet Mordecai would not prostrate to him, pay him that respect. Did you know why? We are going to look at that maybe in subsequent teaching, but we have jumped. Let's come back to where, before we get to that place, let's proceed. So, you know, maybe the king now started missing his wife and now said, in chapter 2 and verse 1, after these things, when the wrath of the king Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what he had done and what was decreed against her. Now, he's now saying that the decree was against her. So, you can see that he has his anger. He's now missing his wife. Are you getting it? Some men, they will be so angry that they will send their wife away. Hallelujah. Before you know, they are now saying, they want to bring her back and the rest. So sometimes giving a very, how will I call it? A very severe judgment before we give a very severe judgment, especially between husbands and wife in relationship, we should be able to weigh the long run effect of that of that judgment. Hallelujah. Some people just want to divorce their wife. They want to leave their husband's house, not looking at the long-run effects of it. Are you getting it? Your children are now going to what? To be traumatized forever from the fact that what? They are coming from a broken home. So sometimes when some judgments are given, we don't look at the long-run effect of it. It's later that we have taken those decisions that will now begin to, why did I? So, and it's good that whenever we are angry, yes, because the Bible says be angry but sin not. It's good that whenever we are upset, we don't take any decision at that time. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Because they would have given her what? Some suspension. Not just sending her home. Are you getting it? Do you understand? There are some times that your wife or you in a relationship, you can be so pained that you just say, okay, let's have a time of retreat. Not retreat on your own. No, let's just pray. Let's have roll out some prayer points that we need to work on. And you, I'll roll out some prayer points. Not saying, oh yeah, you just stay on your own now. Later, you will not discover that, you wouldn't have said that. Because there are some people that in some relationship, when they have some challenge, they just told themselves that they wanted to have a break. And that was how, in the process of the break, someone else now broke in. Thank you, sir. Instead of them to say, okay, let's turn it to a prayer retreat. This challenge that we are having, bring your prayer points. Let me also bring my prayer points. I will send you my own prayer point. You send me your own prayer point. We meet at this particular time. We are not talking about this issue, but we are turning it to God for help. So whenever we are making decisions, hallelujah, decisions, overturning decisions, we should be what? Because this decision was an overturned decision, hallelujah. We should be very, very careful to look at the long run effect of it. Are you getting it? You felt your wife has disobeyed you, so the only way you can show her that you are the man is to beat her. What about in the process of doing so, you remove one of her eyes, or she slumps and dies? You are not looking at the long run effect of what? Of that action. That is why you have done that. You want to beat her. You want to lay your hands on her. And I don't even see it as no sane man who loves God should be able to raise his hand on his wife. Which of our fathers gave us such example? Did you see Abraham beating his wife? Where did you see Isaac doing so? Where did you learn it? I see God helping our generation in the name of Jesus Christ. So when the king now knew that, there is nobody for him to be talking sweet talk with again, he has sensed in his anger. And you know, sometimes there is a way that, and even in, I'm teaching relationships now, there is a way that most couples, husband and wife, they want to show when everybody is around. Not minding the fact that all those people will still leave you. It will just be between you and what? And your wife. There are times that nobody will be there. It will just be you and your wife and your children. Or just you and your wife. So don't take decisions when everybody is there, forgetting the fact that there will come a time when what? When everybody will not be there. So you can see now that when everybody, the feast was over, and it was during the feast that he gave such decree and sent Vashti away. Are you getting it? Now everybody had retired to their own houses. They have gone to their wives. All the princes have gone back to their wife. He that made even the chamberlains that gave him such advice that he should send her away, they've also gone back to their wife. Are you getting it? But now he's now alone and he's thinking, he's now seeing the decree as what? As against her. Do you understand? Do you get it? He's now seeing it maybe as an injustice on her. Do you understand? So when we want to take decisions, let's not just make decisions when everybody is alone, forgetting the fact that all those people will not be there at a time when you will need them. It may be just between you and your wife. So let's take decisions that in public, that when we retire to our private, when we retire to the house, we'll also be able to thank God for that decision we made. Hallelujah. I see God helping us in the name of Jesus Christ. So he now began to think and say, I wouldn't have done this to my wife. Hallelujah. What has happened? So they now said, they now understood that, yes, the man is now beginning to miss his wife. And the only way to help him out is to remarry for him. Hallelujah. Chapter 2 and verse 2. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, Let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the province of his kingdom, that they may what? That they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan, the palace, to the house of what? Of the women, unto the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women. So Hege was the keeper of the women. Hallelujah. And let their things for purification be given, and let the maidens which please the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he said, did so. Hallelujah. So he began to miss his wife. There was nobody for him to be talking sweet talk to again. There was nobody for him to, amen, in Jesus' name. So when they saw that the king is now missing his wife, they now said, okay, let this and this be done. Let virgins be gotten. And let the king, and let what? And let a queen be taken instead of Vashti, which was the throne, which was sent away. Hallelujah. Verse 5 now. This is where I'm going to tell you the reason Haman, the reason Mordecai refused to bow to what? To Haman. Just watch, and then we'll close here. But we'll continue and see how in other series, in other services and Sunday services, we'll see how God overturned. You can see that there is an overturn here in the house of what? The overturn started from the king, from the palace, from the king's palace. And it began by removing what? Removing Vashti in place of Queen Esther. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if there is anybody that must be removed, is it a job that you are looking for? If there's anybody that must be removed in order for you to sit there, yes, it's possible. There is such you know, grace available in the kingdom for it to happen. The Lord will remove them. If a new office is going to be created in order for you to step in there for your next level, it will be. If there is a new place that God has to bring out, has to create in order for us to have a good Sunday service, in order for us to have a standard church, it's possible. If a church is going to leave their venue for us to have it, if a building is going to be erected for us to have the building in order for us to have a standard church and a standard place, are you getting it? It's possible. That is an overturn. You sabalita combata la mantala. So they began the purification process. Now, for the women, verse chapter 5. Now in Shushan the palace, verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of what? Of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother was dead, took for his own daughter. So it was this lady called Esther that was also taken as one of the virgins that should be displayed before the king, for the king to what? To anyone that he loves, for him to pick as the next queen. But let's look at verse 5. This is where we are going to round up, so that we'll continue in. Look at verse 5 again. They say, Mordecai, the son of what? Jair, the son of what? Shimei, the son of who? Of Kish. Who is Kish? A Benjamite. Do you remember Kish? The father of what? King Saul. Are you getting it? Who was also a Benjamite? Are you getting it? So, this is the Torah tells us, the reason I don't want to really go into those, and the Torah tells us that Mordecai is from the royal lineage, is from the king, is from the lineage of the king. And Because he knew who he was. They don't bow for anybody. Why did you see that the Jews, the same thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they asked them to bow. They knew that, in fact, all Jews, they know that they are from royalty as far as they are the chosen, nation of God. Are you getting it? They don't bow to you. Do you understand? So, it's not only the fact that he's a Jew. It was also that he was also from the lineage of royalty. He was from the lineage of Kish. Now, between Shimei, look at that. They say Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish. Between Shimei and Kish was 7 generations or 8 generations. But they just compiled it. They didn't really tell us. So, Shimei is not the direct son of Kish. He's like the 7th generation of Kish. So, Mordecai... So, Shimei was the great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Jonathan, which was the son of Saul, which was the son of Kish. Are you getting it? So, between Shimei and what? And Kish is close to 7, 8, or 9 generations. Because Shimei is what? Is the great-great-great-great-grandson of Jonathan, which is the son of Saul, which is the son of Kish. So Mordecai was from the lineage of what? Of royalty. Was from the lineage of kingship. That was why he refused. That was why he had the audacity to refuse prostrating or bowing to what? To Haman, when Haman was what? Was advanced as the prime minister in the land, in the kingdom of Persia and Media. And that, and that was what made Haman, the Agagite. That was what made Haman, angry, not just at him, but not only to destroy him, but to also destroy all the Jews that were in the province. It seems that Haman also knew that that man was representing every one of them. Do you get it? He knew that that man was standing as a kingship for the Jews. So there are sometimes that we should not just, when we also do things in life, we should not just do it because of what we feel, but we should know that the decisions that we are taking and the result or the effect of such decision is also going to affect others that are related to us. Hallelujah. If I fail now as a man of God, and I will never fail in the name of Jesus, because I know whom I have believed. That failure is not just our failure. It means a whole lot that would have been blessed by this ministry has also failed. A whole lot from my lineage and the rest have failed. But that will not be our portion. That will not be my portion in the name of Jesus. So we should be conscious of the fact that what? That our success is the success of many. And our failure is also the failure of many. And when we are taking decision, we shouldn't just take decision based on we alone. We should take decision based on the fact that this decision has the ability to what? To affect others. So it was just Haman's refusal to prostrate, to bow to him, that warranted this anger also on the what? On the Jews, for them to be exterminated. And we are going to look at how God also overturned for them. I see God helping us in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to celebrate God for his word. Let's begin to say, Father, we thank you for your word that came today powerfully. We ask, O God, that you will overturn for us. You will overturn, you will overturn, you will overturn until it is our turn. In the name of Jesus Christ, let's pray that the Lord will overturn until it's our turn. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, Sabalita Kumbada Lakataya, can we pray that every decision that we will take, those decisions will help us. Those decisions will also help our family members, will also help our lineage and those that are connected to us. We will not just take decision based on ourselves alone. No. Can we pray that we for good, that the Lord will open doors of remembrance for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, that we are enjoying seasons of overturn. Come on, let's turn whatever we have had to prayer. That the Lord is going to give us an overturn. In the mighty name of Jesus, in our family, in our finances, in the ministry. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, see, Lord, we enjoy an overturn, even in our attendance, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you. Let's go ahead and begin to thank God for the success of today's Sunday service. Let's thank him for his word that came with power. Father, we give you praise. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus, because we are enjoying overturn. Thank you for more of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, it is done. Let's shout a big amen.
I believe you have been blessed by this message. And I know that your life will never remain the same. If you desire to be born again, to receive Jesus into your heart and to surrender to his Lordship, you can reach out to us on our social media handles, and or you can call us on the numbers 070-3128-2186. God bless you in Jesus' name.